opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. U.S. Customs and Border Protection released their operational statistics the other day, and they are quite revealing. Mark, welcome to the show.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Very interesting report that came out. When the number is zero of those released into the United States from the border, I don't know that anyone ever thought they could achieve that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, people still tried, but, you know, there was a day actually, I think, I don't know if it was that same day, but that there were only 94 people who tried to cross illegally the entire 2,000-mile border with Mexico. I mean, that's just, it's eye-popping. It's, that really, that kind of thing has never happened before. And the other number, the number you cited was that they didn't let anybody go. Everybody was either turned around or put into detention if they were going to be, you know, deported. There was going to be some other operation for them. Nobody was just dropped off at a bus stop, whereas under Biden, literally millions of people crossed the border and were just let go. Some with a piece of paper, some without. Some were dropped off at bus stops. Some were driven to the airport and hopped on a plane. Millions of people who had no right to be in the United States were just let go. It was kind of like the Border Patrol was instructed to kind of shrug and say, oh, well, never mind. See you later. And that ended, what is it now, 4 months ago? And the results are, you know, they're still there.
Mark, we heard for 4 years that our immigration policy needed to be reformed. And without the reformation, they would not be able to address the challenges at the border. Doesn't seem to be true, does it?
No, not at all. In fact, I mean, President Biden and Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas both said that the bill that they were championing in the Senate was, you know, necessary because without it, they just did not have the authority to control the border. We didn't need a new law. I mean, we do need new laws. There's no question we need legal changes. But to get initial control of the border, we didn't need new law. We just needed a new president. And, you know, it didn't just happen. In other words, it didn't just last for a few weeks and then went back to normal. We're into 4 months now, and there's really no prospect. I mean, sure, there's probably going to be some months where numbers go up somewhat from what they are, but you're not going to have the same kind of situation as long as the Border Patrol is allowed to do its job and people are not let go. That's the key. If they're detained until there's some resolution to their case, one way or the other, then why bother to come, because you're spending a lot of money and you're just going to be cooling your heels in a detention center. People come because they know they can get away with it. They get let go, go join their family members, go get a job, whatever it is. If that doesn't work out, not much appeal to trying to come.
And go figure, people are self-deporting because they know they can't get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, we just posted on our site, cis.org, today, a preliminary look at the number of illegal immigrants, how it changed from January to through May. And again, this is preliminary stuff. The number may not be exactly right, probably won't be, but the basic idea is right. And what we found was that it looks like the illegal population dropped by 1 million people since Trump's inauguration. Well, since the beginning of January, so it would have been a few months before. A million person drop this year. And ICE didn't deport 1 million people. I mean, they've deported a significant number. It's like 75,000 in that time. But most of those people left on their own. And there's always some illegal aliens going home under any circumstances. People, they come and they go, whatever. They have all kinds of situations that people have. But that the illegal population declined by 1 million people under Trump tells you that the self-deportation strategy is a real thing. In other words, you deport some people and make it clear that to others that if you don't pack up and get going now, we're going to eventually come get you. So, it's just a more dignified, organized way. Pack up your stuff, go home on your own, and it's a lot better for everybody. Some people seem to be taking them up on that.
Well, you don't diminish your opportunity or your chance of getting back into the country through a legal means, right?
Right. Yeah, that's one of the selling points the administration has been, the DHS has been making, is that it's not like they're going to guarantee you're going to get to come back in, but you at least preserve that possibility. Whereas if you stay here illegally, get arrested by ICE, well, then you're up the creek. You're never going to be able to come back legally if you wanted to for whatever, tourism, or even if they have some future immigration petition by a relative or something like that. All of that stuff's out the door if you end up getting caught and formally deported. If you leave on your own, pack up, see you later, you've got a real chance potentially of being approved if you apply to come back for some other reason, whether permanent or temporary.
A lot of what goes on in the machinations of the immigration system is administrative in nature. We continue to hear this word, due process, due process, due process. I think the public has been bamboozled into believing that every step of every action of every way within an immigration construct, due process prevails. But that's not true, is it?
Well, it kind of depends on what you mean by due process. And as the Supreme Court has said in the immigration context, due process is whatever Congress says it is. So Congress, mm-hmm. Has in statute laid out certain rules, certain processes. But this isn't like an American in a criminal case or even an illegal alien in a criminal case. Due process there is different. If you're an illegal immigrant and you're being prosecuted for a crime, there are, the same kinds of rules and protections as anyone else being prosecuted for a crime. You can even get a lawyer, paid for by the government. But in immigration matters, those are civil matters, administrative matters. And just like an American in a similar civil matter, like, say, divorce court or bankruptcy court, doesn't get a lawyer, paid for by the taxpayer, neither do immigrants. And the rules of what constitutes a due process is whatever Congress says it is, not what some judge says it is. And so it's a lot easier to deport illegal aliens that way. Obviously, the other side, the anti-border side, is waging lawfare, but they can, gum up the works for a little while, but ultimately they can't. And people are deported if they have no right to be here and they have no basis for, like, an asylum claim, then they're out the door.
Yeah, I mean, their notion of due process, obviously, is what the Constitution, you know, and they think they fall within right. under the umbrella of that. And that was the point that I was trying to make, is that we're conflating all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. The due process under the Constitution that you're right, that people are, that the other side especially is kind of invoking, involves due process in criminal matters. You're being charged right. and will be jailed, then even an illegal alien has those same constitutional protections. That's not what deportation is. It's not a punishment. It's just a decision about whether you're allowed to be here or whether you have to go home.
Right. And these elected officials that are grabbing hold of illegals and demanding arrest warrants, again, completely conflating what they're watching way too much CSI on TV, because that's not how it works in the immigration realm. And it's not how it works in about 60 or 70% of arrests that are made by law enforcement agents under criminal statutes.
Right. And these aren't criminal arrests. That's the whole point. They have an administrative warrant for someone who isn't supposed to be here. Congress specifically has authorized that in black letter law. There's no ambiguity here. And in some cases, they actually, in like Los Angeles, they had started to use actual judicial warrants when going. In other words, they went to the trouble of getting a judge to sign the warrant for those that are involved in criminal activity. Like if they re-entered after being deported, that's a felony. And so they actually went to the trouble of getting a judicial warrant for that subset of illegals they were looking for, and that still was unacceptable, and that's one of the things that's, caused those riots there. So, what it boils down to is that, unfortunately, the Democratic Party, the mainstream of the Democratic Party, doesn't believe that immigration law is legitimate. They think it is illegitimate in itself to deport illegal aliens. And if you understand that, everything else follows from that.
Mark, you have interacted with a lot of folks that have migrated to this country. My mom, first generation immigrant from Central America, Nicaragua. I grew up in Hispanic culture. Most of the folks that I know were adamantly opposed to illegal immigration. They waited for years to get in. They had to have a sponsor. They had to have been able to prove that they could support oneself. They had to speak English. And, they look at what's going on today, and they are completely mystified by what is actually happening and the expectations that some of these folks have of what they believe they should be entitled to. And they're like, you got to be kidding me. We had to prove ourselves. They just want this entitlement.
Yeah, and I had a boss once who said, you teach people how to treat you. And I think part of the entitlement mentality of not all immigrants, but a significant share of ones you see in the media, is that they've gotten that from us. In other words, they've sort of imbibed this idea that immigrants are, entitled, that illegal immigrants are even a victim group that's entitled to benefits, because that's what much of our leadership class is saying. So this is more a problem for us to fix among ourselves. And once you make clear what's expected of people, most of the time they're going to figure, okay, well, that's what I need to do. But when our governing elites, media, academia, you name it, have this point of view that foreigners are entitled, that illegal immigrants especially are a victim class, and that we have to, that we owe them, well, then people, the illegal immigrants, are going to figure, okay, well, that sounds good to me. I'll go with that. So my point here is we need to put our house in order. And then those people who still persist in defying our expectations, then I'm happy to blame them all we want.
You know, it's interesting, and I made this observation yesterday in a monologue about all the things that a number of states, most states that have some kind of either a city providing sanctuary provisions and or the state as a sanctuary state, providing health care, for illegal aliens and otherwise, and the first time that their budget gets dinged, what do? They turn their back on the illegal alien community and take it away from them. And, you know, they tied themselves up into a knot trying to justify what they were doing in the first place. And it just seemed like it was so easy to undo that, that knot when all of a sudden they're broke. And now we're back to where everyone said they were going to be. Too many people, overwhelming the system, overwhelming education, healthcare, social services, and no money to and not enough money to deal with the issue.
And well, and I mean, when that happens, then they, you know, then they say Washington has to bail them out. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
you know,
well, yeah, of course.
In other states, have to bail them out because, you know, now they're pleading poverty. No, it's crazy. And what sanctuary policies do, even more than the specifics of, you know, obstructing law enforcement, what they really do is send the message to illegal immigrants that it's okay to be an illegal immigrant, when in fact what we need is a consistent message, unmixed message across institutions, whether it's getting a job, opening a bank account, driver's license, whatever it is, that if you're an illegal alien, you don't get to do any of that stuff. You need to leave because you can't live here in a kind of normal way if you're an illegal immigrant. And that's the only way we're going to get large numbers of people to keep leaving.
Mark, how do we get to the point where, you know, you and I having this conversation, articulating what I think is very commonsensical approaches to this? I'm not anti-immigration. If we need to increase the number from a million to 1.5 million or 2 million or whatever number makes sense economically, I also believe that we ought to engage in economic credentialing. We have over 40 some odd million people living under the federally identified poverty level now. I don't know why we would want more. We're doing a pretty crappy job dealing with that sector of the community today. But how did we get to the point that we would be called xenophobic, we would be called racist, we would be called haters for this, where every other industrialized nation in the world has more restrictive immigration laws than we have here in the United States?
Well, because, you know, that's the go-to, slur, and that's what in the immigration context, that's what the anti-borders people have been using as a club. You're a hater, you're a xenophobe, blah, blah, blah. And they do it because it has worked, because, you know, nobody wants to be thought of as a racist, but it's not working anymore. Nobody cares. It's like the boy who cried wolf. You've got huge shares of not just the white population, but, you know, Hispanics and Asians. And they're like, yeah, come on, give me a break. We have rules. Let's enforce the rules. You want to change the rules, go talk to Congress. We have a Congress. You can work it out, write a new law. They've tried it. People just don't want it. They don't want to open immigration. They don't want to amnesty people. And so the left is basically, the left can't win through democratic means. And so all of this racism, hater, xenophobia stuff is a way of trying to win, basically, you know, undemocratically, to sort of leave the words in the law the same, but to try to get the actual reality that's enforced to be something more like what they want. And that's just wearing thin. Nobody buys that anymore. And obviously President Trump's pretty broad. I mean, whatever you think of the guy, he was almost got half of the Hispanic vote. Obviously, he got like, what, a quarter of the black male vote? This whole racism thing, just fewer and fewer people are buying it. That's a good thing.
You know, it's interesting. I got a text here. What I have a problem with ICE, they need to be trained, and no stereotypes. The ones we have been legal in the country still happens. Most people don't realize that ICE and Border Patrol and all of those organizations under that umbrella are about 50% Hispanic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Half of the employees in these organizations are, in fact, Hispanic. So, you know, it's almost as though this is only white man working for ICE, you know, white man taking advantage of, you know, this or that or otherwise. It's just simply not true.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's preposterous. You know, I mean, the Border Patrol in particular, you're actually required to be able to speak Spanish. And you get, you know, yeah. there's a test. And if your Spanish is okay, but still not great when you finish the academy, they give you 6 more months and you are like a probationary employee and you're supposed to keep studying and all that stuff. But, you know, I mean, I've met dozens and dozens and dozens of Border Patrol agents, and not just field agents, but management and as well. You know, this is a whole mix of people from all over. And like you said, disproportionately Mexican-American. In fact, some of the counties down in South Texas, right along the border, these are like 95-97% Hispanic counties. Several of them went for Trump this last time, and all of them shifted dramatically toward Trump because they're just Americans, and that's the way they see themselves. It's a cultural thing, and they have a significant sort of Mexican-American cultural things they do, whether it's food or holidays or whatever it is. But they're patriotic Americans. For them, their Mexicanness is like a regional identity, like being Cajun or being Amish or something like that. In other words, it's important to them. It's part of what they are, but it has nothing to do with politics. They're patriotic Americans, and that's where not just the Border Patrol, but a lot of DHS and other law enforcement down there, that's where they draw their people from.
No doubt. No doubt. As always, we always enjoy the conversation with Mark Krikorian, Executive Director, Center for Immigration Studies. You can see their stuff at cis.org. They put out some great articles, well-reasoned, well-researched. They're on top of their numbers day in and day out. Always appreciate having you on, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by John Sillars, Chief Strategy Officer, Second Harvest Food Bank. Yesterday, they officially launched its first Making Groceries mobile market location in Orleans Parish, and he's here to tell us about it. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. We are absolutely pumped to be in Orleans Parish with the Making Groceries mobile market.
So tell us, for the benefit of the listening audience, how this works. What is it about?
So the Making Groceries mobile market is actually a grocery store on wheels. It is a trailer pulled by a large pickup truck. It is 34 foot long. People walk into the side of it and they can buy fruits, vegetables, dairy, protein, and other pantry staples. And then they walk out the back and they buy their groceries. These groceries are for sale, and we are putting these for sale in communities where there isn't a grocery store. One-third of our service area in South Louisiana is a food desert. One of those food deserts is in the lower Ninth Ward, and so that's why we were at the Sanchez Center at 1616 Fats Domino Avenue on the corner of Fats Domino and Claiborne with the mobile market. There were a lot of people who were absolutely thrilled about it. All of these people have money to spend on groceries. They just can't get to a grocery store. I spoke to one lady who said, I got to take a bus to either Chalmette or Chapultepec or even in mid-city to go to a grocery store. And then she has to wait for the bus to come back. The way the transportation works for her is that if she goes to Chalmette, which is just 15 minutes away, she's got to wait for 2 hours for the bus to come back. And so I don't know about you, but I don't want to be waiting around 2 hours for transportation to get me back home. So,
well, certainly not in 95 degree heat.
You know it. You know it.
It's freaking hot out there, man.
It is. You're absolutely right. And so this is what this is for. We actually buy these groceries. You know, a lot of food we get is donated to us, and we actually put that through our pantries, and that food is available for partners and neighbors to come and get who are dealing with food insecurity and don't have the money to buy food. But this program, we buy the food wholesale, and then we sell it almost at cost to people who are live in places like the Ninth Ward or other places where there are food deserts. We actually have a mobile market on a weekly basis in Avondale and Kennedy Heights, too.
So how is this going to ultimately work for you guys? So this is one trailer, and you will be in a different location every day and then repeat that the following week?
Well, yes, absolutely. You know, the mobile market, the Making Groceries mobile market, we have a trailer out in the Acadiana, southwest Louisiana portions of our service area, and that mobile market has been operating since 2021. It goes in various parts of Acadiana, and then I think it stops in Lake Charles one Saturday a month. The way this mobile market is working is we stop at the James C. Simmons Center in Kennedy Heights on, I think, every Thursday, but at the Sanchez Center in the lower Ninth Ward, it's going to be there on the first and third Wednesday from 9:30 to 11:30 every month. And, you know, we couldn't be getting this going without the NFL Foundation. This was funded through their Inspire Change initiative. We had a big to-do down at the Sanchez Center the week before the Super Bowl, and we featured the mobile market, and there were a lot of people who were thrilled to be there, but now we're just happy to have it going on a regular basis.
No, that's huge. So, I mean, so would y'all have, are y'all going to spend at least a day? So how is this going to work? So you articulated 2 days, but how much area can you cover with one trailer?
What we're doing right now is we're stopping in Canada. There are two places in Jefferson Parish where we're stopping. We're stopping on a Tuesday, and we're stopping on a Thursday in Jefferson Parish. And we are now stopping every Tuesday and every Thursday in Jefferson Parish, but we're stopping on the first and the third Wednesday in Orleans Parish in the lower Ninth Ward. And we are looking to get additional locations. Some of this has to do with permitting because, you know, this is a pretty new concept. And so, we have to get permits for this.
Hopefully the city's not going to be a problem, and hopefully Jefferson's not going to be a problem, because, I mean, this isn't, it's an incredible service. I mean, you know, we went through all those years where we had all the KBs and the CVSs, the Walgreens, and this on every corner, but we also had the studies that showed they were paying somewhere between 45% to 50% more for groceries than they would at a local grocery store, but there aren't any, right?
Well, so yeah, your dollar, right.
Your dollar wasn't going as far. Now you have an opportunity with the approach that y'all are taking, where your dollar is going to go further than it has ever gone in the history of your life, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, the Lower Ninth Ward hasn't had a grocery store since before Katrina, and so while city leaders work that out and try to get a permanent grocery store there, we're coming in to help out, to provide food for sale. We also are going to be having the mobile market at the Ochsner in the main campus on the 24th of June from 9:30 to 11:30. That's on Tuesday. So we're excited about that as well.
Absolutely. And I don't know. I mean, if there's somebody that has a location that they think is going to work for your benefit, I guess this has to be a cooperative effort where you parking these trailers. A lot of times it's probably on private property and things of that nature. They would call your organization Second Harvest Food Bank.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, for those who want to learn more about the Second Harvest, about the mobile market, they can go to our website, where it's no-hunger.org/mobile-market, and they can learn all about it. And, you know, we're just excited that we have this trailer, and, you know, it's in bright colors. There are all kinds of, you know, it's wrapped with graphics of fruits and vegetables, and so it's really easy to spot. Even the truck that pulls it is wrapped with fruits and vegetables, and so we are looking forward to having it at more locations. Again, we are going to be at the Ochsner main campus on Tuesday from 9:30 to 11:30. That's June 24th. And so we're going to continue to keep it going.
And if you would mention a list of items, you can get milk and eggs, I guess,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Dairy products, vegetables,
yeah,
fruits, canned
absolutely.
Items.
We have fruits and vegetables, milk, eggs, protein, like we had chicken there, as well as hamburger meat. But we also had pantry staples as well, you know, dry beans, canned vegetables, and rice as well. So it really serves. What we're looking to do is we're not looking to replace a standalone grocery store, because nothing's going to replace that. But, you know, for people who live in places, again, like the Lower Ninth Ward, who don't have access to a grocery store, or again, in the Kennedy Heights area in Avondale, where they don't have a grocery store. You know, that area, there used to be a Winn-Dixie there, and then there was an independent grocer there. And I think plans are to ultimately open up an Ideal Market, but still there's nothing there. We're coming in and we're offering this food for sale, so people can come and buy it, particularly for those people who don't have the transportation to get themselves to a grocery store that's far away. Because, again, our 23 parish service area, a third of it is defined by the USDA as a food desert. And so they can't get to a grocery store, a good grocery store.
Yep. We've got to get to a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the trials and tribulations of the food bank as it relates to the USDA support. When we return, we're visiting with John Sillars, Chief Strategy Officer, Second Harvest Food Bank. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with John Sillars, Chief Strategy Officer, Second Harvest Food Bank. John, I was listening to the interview with you and Tommy Tucker the other day, and I wanted to bring this topic up because I think the public doesn't clearly understand the manner in which the USDA is providing food product to these food banks across the country. In my view, I think it's far too complex than what it needs to be. It's a conglomeration of about four, maybe five different programs that have to operate hand in glove with one another. They all have a different mission, but if they don't align, we have these disruptions. And my wife's family happened to own and operate where you guys are today. In fact, we were the ones that sold you that facility. We used to store product for the federal government for a long time, and we saw the ebb and flow and the change in the amount of inventory that they were willing to give in some years, and in other years, 60, sometimes 70% less. It was very volatile. And so I just wanted the public to understand, because I think what you know, some folks are saying is, well, that is a typical, you know, Republicans trying to hurt food banks. That's not necessarily the case. And I know as it relates to the spend on dairy products, eggs and blueberries, you can't, for weeks now, you have not had a real difficult time finding a blueberry in a grocery store. There's a shortage. Same with eggs and same with some of the dairy products. I don't know if there's a connection, but I suspect there is.
Well, I can't comment on that. What I can do is I can share some facts, okay? Since January and all the way through so far this month, we have been receiving about 32% less food in terms of poundage than we did last year. That is, last year we received 321 truckloads. This year, during that same period, we received 210 truckloads. Now, this is a program that the USDA runs. It's called the Temporary Emergency Food Assistance Program, or TFAP for short. Mm-hmm. And we have seen a significant drop off at that. And the reason why this is important is because in fiscal year 24, which ended last June, the USDA provided 40%, or the equivalent of 15 million meals that Second Harvest distributed in 24. And so that's the importance of the USDA. And it's important to not only Second Harvest, but food banks across the nation. So what we've done is we tapped into board-approved emergency reserves in order to supplement previously allocated funds for food purchases so we could effectively serve all 23 parishes. We're also investing in food sourcing staff, trucks, and partner infrastructure with a grant that we got from Feeding America. But it's only going to partially offset the cuts. And we don't really see these policies changing anytime soon. So, you know, it'll continue to negatively impact our food supply for the foreseeable future. So at minimum, we see these changes translating into an annualized impact of about 4.5 million pounds on an annual basis. January through June, by comparison, we saw a 2.2 million pound hit. So it's probably going to be along the lines of 4.5 million pounds hitting. And so as a result, you know, you see our trucks going all over the city as well as throughout Southeast Louisiana, but the trucks are delivered to pantries because the way we get food to people dealing with food insecurity is with it. We partner with pantries like, you mm-hmm. know, Troy Duhon's Giving Hope, and they deliver food to pantries and other meal programs in the communities of South Louisiana. Those trucks are not as full as they once were. And so that means that children, families, and seniors experiencing food insecurity in these communities won't have the food they need to thrive. And so in yeah. response, what we're doing, we're looking to the community to either donate money, donate food, or even come and volunteer at Second Harvest. All you got to do is go to no-hunger.org.
I think part of the issue is, because I made some inquiries about this and did some additional research, the Biden administration had supplemented with emergency funding an additional $2,500,000,000 between 2022 and 2024. Uh-huh. And I think what's happening is the USDA funding, now that a lot of this has somewhat run out and then they froze some of these programs, trying to figure out where all the money went is kind of this dilemma that everybody's caught in at the present time, and it's going to be interesting to see what the outcome is going to be. I've seen this happen before, right? And I think most people have, especially when you have a change in administration. But it was that supplemental funding that allowed, you know, a lot of that to happen, because all of the food banks experienced incredible shortages in the aftermath of COVID, and they weren't able to fill their shelves appropriately at that point in time. So it may be a hiccup. I don't know. I think everybody needs to get more information on this, but these anomalies are not something out of the ordinary. But I think in the end, our community needs to stand up, and our community needs to finance these things. It is truly our obligation. This is our home. These are our people. You know, and we need to treat it in that fashion. That's why I've donated money, you know, and I will continue to donate money.
Well, thank you. I mean, the other number that I'm going to share with you is 436,000. That's up from 407,000 last year. That's the number of people who experience food insecurity in South Louisiana.
John, I apologize. I got to get to a hard break. I'm sorry.
Right.
We'll get you back
to talk
about this. And thank you for joining us. John Sillers, Chief Strategy Officer, Second Harvest Food Bank. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.